FDA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
Let's come aboard.
Happy Monday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the three-hour Chaos Theory Kegger. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Seattle to St. Pete, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. Hey, around the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
That's very good, Damon.
Oh, I'm excited about today's show. Fired up about today's show. Back at it. Big football weekend. Ho-ho-ho. I mean, is there any doubt the NFC playoffs are going to be far superior to the AFC playoffs? The AFC postseason feels like the JV. The NFC playoffs feel like the varsity. Look at the wins by the Seattle Seahawks last night against the previously one-loss Philadelphia Eagles. How about the New Orleans Saints? The way they played against division rival, the Carolina Panthers. How about the Minnesota Vikings gutting out a gritty, defensive-laden win over the Atlanta Falcons? This is big boy football here. The AFC, not so much. I hope the AFC playoffs give us a wrinkle, give us unpredictability, give us something other than the Patriots racing through or the Steelers breezing through. I hope it gives us a little something because it looks like the NFC has heavyweights that'll clobber one another, and I can't wait for it. We've got Houston Nutt, CBS Sports Network, college football analyst, former coach, of course, in college football. He'll join us next hour. We'll discuss with him the college football playoff. It's also the beginning of the 12 DAs of Christmas. Today, we begin our first four out. We will play for you at the end of this hour one of the first four teams left out of the 12 DAs. On Friday begins our countdown with number 12. I got to get you guys here on the show, on the phones. I'm sure you have tons of takes on the decision by the playoff committee from the NFL that you watched yesterday, 855-212-4CBS. On the college coaching searches, 855-212-4227. On Twitter, DA on CBS. And as always, watch us at watchda.com. The simulcast going on right now. That's mobile friendly. Take us with you on your phone, watchda.com. Before I get into all of my NFL takes, let's get the college football stuff on the table. Because we knew there were three teams in after Saturday's championship games. We knew that Clemson was in and likely the number one seed with their demolition of Miami in the ACC title game. We knew Oklahoma was going to be in with their thumping of TCU in the Big 12 title game. We knew Georgia was in after Georgia's incredibly impressive win over Auburn in the SEC title game, which left us one slot, either Ohio State after winning the Big 10 with two losses or Alabama sitting out with one. The committee chose Alabama, and that gives us Clemson versus Bama year three, almost like Warriors-Cavs. Did the committee get it right? It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
Can't look backward. Look forward. And I love our players. I love the fact that they had a job to do and stay focused and go win the game. I also have always admired people that have a job to do. You know, USC had a job to do. They won their championship, and they did. We had a job to do in Indianapolis. We did it. And the College Football Playoff Committee had a job to do, and they did it. So you respect it, move forward, and keep swinging. And the most important thing is find a way to go win this next game for our seniors and show our appreciation for them because they were phenomenal this year.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
That, of course, Urban Meyer after being left out of the college football playoff. Hey, Buckeyes fans, I know you're raw. Plenty of you have sent me information on the dueling resumes between Alabama and Ohio State. I feel you. You won a conference championship. Alabama did not. But the committee got it right. The committee got it right. And it wasn't close, in my opinion. Because the committee has already decided conference championships is not the deciding factor. And Ohio State, you should know this very well, Buckeyes fans, were the beneficiary of said parameters last year. If the committee said, we need conference championships, you got to win your conference to get into the playoff, I would feel differently. Then that would automatically take Alabama out of the conversation. But the committee has said one very clear thing. We want the four best teams in college football. You can't make the argument that Ohio State is one of the four best teams when they've lost twice, one of which being by 31 points to a 500 Iowa team. You can go down top 25 wins, top 5 wins, strength of schedule. Here is the problem with all of that. Ohio State, including in the Big Ten title game, never looked the part consistently of a top 4 team in America. At times, they gave you a half. They gave you a game. But it was a roller coaster all season. And a top 4 team of the country doesn't go on the road to Iowa and lose by more than 4 touchdowns. And even Buckeyes fans would have to admit that. There is no opponent in the SEC that Alabama would lose by 31 points to. There isn't. Now you could say, well, DA, does that mean that the SEC is not good as the Big Ten? Maybe, although the SEC has 2 teams in the college football playoff, the Big Ten has none. My point is, the Iowa equivalent in the SEC is Mississippi State. Alabama went to Mississippi State and won. There's no way they would lose by 31 points. Here's another way you know the committee got it right. We had Todd Furman, Vegas virtuoso, odds maker extraordinaire on the Sunday morning football show yesterday morning. This was before we knew who the football playoff would be. He said if Alabama gets in, they have the best odds out of any of the 4 teams to win a national championship. In other words, Vegas says Alabama is actually the favorite. He said they would be favored, they will be favored if they get in against any of the other teams that get in. Let me put it to you this way. Who do you think Clemson would have rather faced a month from now? Alabama or Ohio State? Clemson's got to be looking around going, we're the one seed and we got to play Alabama? No thanks. Give us Ohio State. Again, the best 4 teams of the country. Alabama's one of those 4 teams. And if that is the metric the committee uses, they got it right. I'm not necessarily all on board with that metric. I would like to see the committee say, you got to win your conference. Because I think that just means there's too much gray area. You got to win your conference. We'll take the 4 best conference winners. I'd rather see that. But if that's not the metric, it's just the 4 best teams of the country. Yeah, they got it right. Alabama's one of the 4 best teams of the country. 855-212-4CBS on Twitter, DA on CBS. Now, I know there's a lot of you with Alabama fatigue. I get that. I like fresh blood, too. I think it's great George is in there. I'd like to see fresh blood as well. Ohio State wasn't giving us fresh blood, but a lot of you are just tired of Alabama. Look, here's the problem if you're tired of Alabama. Alabama was the beneficiary of great timing. The Big Ten and the Pac-12 had two lost champions. The Big Ten and the Pac-12 had down seasons. They didn't have an elite team. Had USC lost only once, USC is in the college football playoff. Had Ohio State not lost twice, they're in the college football playoff. Hell, maybe if they stay within a field goal of Iowa, they might be in. I don't know. But the Big Ten, because Penn State stubbed its toe twice, had Penn State just held on to that lead against Ohio State? Or if USC didn't puke all over itself twice, it'd be different. You wouldn't be looking at Alabama. But they take advantage of a down year from the two other power conferences that could have put a team in there. I think it's going to be two great games. Great. And the one thing I would say is that the committee right now does not want an all-SEC championship game. One of the things they do when they build this TV show, remember, it's three TV shows they're programming, two semifinals and a championship. They want different regions of the country to make this a national event. If you make it too regionalized, too SEC or too Southeastern or too whatever, other people get disinterested. They put in two teams from the SEC and a third from the Southeast in Clemson. They hope that they don't have an all-SEC championship game. But ultimately, they got it right. And let's just say this. Who doesn't want Clemson, Alabama for a third year in a row after those two instant classics? But number two, Georgia against Oklahoma is great. Because you've got Baker Mayfield and Oklahoma's offense, which is ridiculously powerful, against one of the best defenses in the country in Georgia. And you just saw what Georgia's defense did to Auburn on Saturday. These two semifinals are great. Great.
So many different emotions on so many different levels.
Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS. Agree or disagree? 855-212-4227. On Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, don't look now, but the Minnesota Vikings might be the best team in football. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Open now for brunch. DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Case Keenum takes the pad out, line snap. Three-step drop, fires to the end zone. Caught! Touchdown, Vikings! Kyle Rudolph with the touchdown reception. 13-9, Minnesota.
I don't think a lot of guys think about it being 8 in a row. I think we're just we're so focused on one game at a time. Obviously, wins feel great, and we know the feeling of a win. We know the feeling of a loss, and I think that's kind of why guys play so hard.
The great Paul Allen on Vikings Radio, and then Adam Thielen with the Vikings win. Welcome back, DA with you, CBS Sports Radio. Remember, you can watch us at watchda.com. That's the simulcast going on right now. That's also mobile friendly, so take us with you on the go. You can also listen to the app, the CBS Sports app, the TuneIn app, the radio.com app, or Apple Music. Vikings could be the best team in football, guys, because they have an elite defense. An elite defense. Look what they just did to Atlanta in Atlanta. They just went to Mercedes-Benz Stadium, the new home of the Falcons, and held Atlanta to three field goals. They strangled the Falcons. They held Julio Jones to one catch for 13 yards until the fourth quarter. The Vikings defense held Matt Ryan to 173 yards, no touchdowns, and it wasn't even like the Falcons were in the red zone a bunch. That was one of Matt Ryan's worst days as a professional. And Atlanta came in on a little bit of a roll. So Minnesota's defense speaks for itself. But Case Keenum's not bad. Case Keenum is not bad. He doesn't have to do a ton. But yesterday, only had 5 incompletions, 25 of 30, 227, 2 touchdowns, no picks. He is efficient. He is confident. He's got a little bit of a swagger more and more each and every week, the guys in that locker room say. They believe in Case Keenum, and they should. Case Keenum's not bad. And they've got a two-headed running attack of Latavius Murray and Jerick McKinnon. Both guys, solid. Ran for over 100 yards yesterday. And then they've got 3 pretty good options of the pass game for Case Keenum to work with. Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, who's one of the best stories in all of football, and their tight end, Kyle Rudolph. Adam Thielen came out of University of Minnesota, Mankato. He is a Minnesota State Mankato guy that made the regional tryouts for the Vikings and latched on as a practice squad guy 3 years ago, became a special teams guy, and now has been inserted into the lineup, and he's caught over 1,000 yards. Minnesota's really good, and they're not sexy. They don't get a lot of national attention, but the Vikings are legitimately really good, and they might be the best all-around team in football, and they are proving it because they're beating good teams. They beat the Rams. Again, one of the best offenses in football. The Minnesota D held the Rams to 7 points. The Falcons, one of the best arsenals in football, held the Falcons to 9 points. They're the team that knocked out Aaron Rodgers. They haven't lost since 4. They're getting better by the week. Minnesota's legit. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. There is only one thing standing between the Vikings and making a Super Bowl, and that is history. No team has ever played the Super Bowl in their home stadium. This year's Super Bowl will be played in Minnesota. It's time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask a question brought to you by O'Reilly. Simply check out the link, cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio. Sign up to be an O-Rewards member today. Start earning instantly. O-Rewards members earn $5 back every 150 points you earn. Fast, easy, free, only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. See store for details. O'Reilly, better parts, better prices every day. John's next up. He's in Minnesota, listening on the CBS Sports app there. What's up, John?
Hey, how's it going?
Doing well, buddy. How you doing?
Good. I wanted to give a shout-out to Xavier Rhodes, who doesn't get a lot of play, but the last 3 games, Julio Jones is 3-for-12 with 30 yards. We call him Rhodes Closed here in Minnesota. So I just wanted to give him a shout-out because he doesn't get the national play he should.
And think about what Julio Jones did last week. Julio Jones caught more than 250 yards last week. He went for 250 last week. And yesterday, Julio Jones caught 2 passes for 24 yards. Chris is in Idaho. He's watching the show at watchda.com. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, good morning, DA. Big fan of yours. I've been watching for a long time.
Thanks, man.
I'm a big football fan. I love football, college, NFL, everything. I love getting up in the morning. I love tailgating. It's great how you can drink alcohol in the morning so early, because if there's no football game on, you can't do that. Everybody's always looking at you like, socially, hey, man,
it's socially acceptable.
Much.
Yeah, 9 a.m., you can crack a beer. The only time at a tailgate.
Yeah, I love that, because otherwise people are always saying, hey, Chris, why are you drinking? What are you running away from? And I'm like, no, I'm just tailgating.
Nice.
Yeah, my family's a little concerned about it, but I love my football.
Sure, that's understandable. Well, we're going to give you the pass here for drinking that early in the morning. Just make sure you don't do it alone in your pajamas on a Tuesday before work.
Thank you. How does a team lose their final college game and make it the top four? I know that's been talked about ad nauseum, but how can they not change that up? I mean, they really have to.
I don't know if they have to, because what the committee wants is, the committee wants two really good football games. They don't want to feel like they are pigeonholed into taking a team that's not one of the best teams. Now, like I said, I think there needs to be a reward for winning your college football conference. In other words, a team like Ohio State last year didn't feel deserving to get in when they lost to a team in Penn State that should have went in over them. You know, it didn't feel right. But until they change that rule, putting Alabama in is the right move, because all the committee is asking is, we're looking for the four best teams in America. We don't care if they won the conference championship. We don't care what their record is. We don't care how bad they lost. We make up our own rules. Now, clearly, all those other factors factor into how they decide who the four best teams are, but they're not beholden to one of those metrics. They're just looking for the four best teams. And Alabama lost to Auburn, but let's face it, that's the best loss out of any of the teams in the playoff. Clemson's the best team of the country by virtue of being the number one seed. They lost against Syracuse, who went 4-8. I mean, you can't say that it's not a good loss. Alabama might have lost. We had Adam Zucker, SEC on CBS host on Sunday Morning Football yesterday. He had a great quote. I asked him about this. He said, look, Alabama didn't lose the wrong game. They lost at the wrong time. They lost the right game at the wrong time. A conference foe on the road by 10 points, that's their only loss? It just so happened that it happened the final week of the season. Matthew's in Detroit listening on CBS Sports Radio's 1270. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, not too much. I'm from Missouri originally. I'm a Mizzou guy, but I'm wondering about the imploding Chiefs, and then you've got Detroit here. But my comment on the college is exactly right. All those Ohio State babies who are whining about it, you know, as you mentioned, they've had this route before. And second, say it again, look at Iowa's record. You're talking about Iowa. The Big Ten is so overrated. They lose by 10 in Auburn. That game was epic. Yeah, they were a little sloppy, but I don't see how you can sit there, oh, it's so bad. Well, get over yourself, Ohio State. I think it's all SEC, 2S, best conference in the nation. Thanks, D.A. Beam me up.
All right, Bye. Buddy. Thank you, man. Look, unfortunately for Buckeyes fans, they can't cry that this is unfair, because they were the beneficiaries of this last year. Because of the brand of Ohio State, because of Ohio State's having won the national championship a few years earlier, because of Urban Meyer, they didn't have to win the Big Ten to be considered one of the four best teams of the country. And it just, live by the sword, die by the sword. It got you in last year. It got you knocked out this year. But look, I think this is a fair way to put it. If Alabama had two losses, but had won the SEC title game, and one of their losses was a conference loss, or let's say even one of their losses was just like Ohio State, a non-conference opponent comes in and beats them. So in this case, it would have been Florida State, let's say. Florida State went to Tuscaloosa and won. Be like, well, that's a tough loss, but Florida State, had they stayed healthy, championship contender, fine. But then let's also say that Alabama went to Mississippi State and lost by 31 points. We would not argue that Alabama deserved in. Well, that's the resume that Ohio State brought to the table this year. 855-212-4CBS. College football playoff conversation. NFL conversation. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, is Russell Wilson the real MVP? Also, the first 12 DA of Christmas of the first four out. We begin counting down the best moments of the year with one of the first four out next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Now get zapped while the sun is out. DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Russell Wilson on the left hash in the shotgun. Gets the snap. Has time. Throws wide open. McKissick. Touchdown. How did they miss J.D. McKissick, who ran unmolested into the end zone from 15 yards out?
Showing you everything that he's all about. From start to finish, from the first play of the game on, he was on it. He created. His execution was excellent. We didn't turn the football over. Working the clock, using the tempo, decisions, checks, the whole night, and the big plays were just coming out of everywhere. You know, it's phenomenal big plays in the game.
Pete Carroll talking about his quarterback, Russell Wilson. That was Westwood One on the call. Seahawks get a very impressive win last night on Sunday Night Football, 24-10. Couple of notes on this. Philadelphia's had a wonderful season, but you do look at some of the Eagles' wins and wonder, when do they play the big boys? How will they play the big boys? They are at Seattle and now at the Rams next week. A much better gauge than the other teams they have beaten this year. Their wins came against Washington, the Giants, the Chargers, the Cardinals, the Panthers, Washington again, Niners, Broncos, Cowboys, Bears. It's possible none of those teams make the playoffs. It's possible all of their wins have come against non-playoff teams. Now, the Panthers could very well get in. Perhaps the Chargers win their division. But largely, the division has been, where the conference schedule has been pretty soft for Philly. They are at Seattle, at the Rams, these 2 weeks. Let's see if Philly can at least split here. Because if they go 0-2, it might make you wonder, okay, are they legitimately as good as their record would indicate, or beneficiaries of a soft schedule? Carson Wentz, either way, is a guy that you now pay money to watch. That throw that he makes downfield as he's getting tackled from behind is extraordinary. And his ability to get out of the grasp, be shifty, and then throw downfield with authority is very Aaron Rodgers-esque. Carson Wentz is one of those guys that is going to make watching Eagles football appointment viewing for the next 8 to 10 years. He's that fun to watch. But last night needs to be about the Seattle Seahawks. Because the Seahawks, without Cam Chancellor, without Richard Sherman, with a lot of people saying the season is over and the window's closed, including myself suggesting that maybe this was a passing of the torch of the NFC, that the Eagles were the new bullies on the block and the Seahawks window was closed. The Seahawks came out there and played their brand of football. And their brand of football now is letting Russell Wilson do things nobody else in football can do. This is a banged up Seahawks team. This is a Seattle squad that has been in and out all year. Offensive line problems, injuries on the defense, inconsistency with their weapons, inconsistency on the ground, injuries with their running backs. And Russell Wilson, every night, every time they play, does something else where you go, what the hell? Nobody else can do that. He plays quarterback like a pinball. And last night, the shot that he takes with a helmet shoulder into the sternum is all because of the way that he plays. He darts around, keeps looking to extend plays, turns around, doesn't face the defense. And I'm thinking to myself, there's not another quarterback in the league that takes that hit. Nobody. Nobody takes a hit with a helmet into the sternum. You've never seen Tom Brady take that hit, ever. Because the moment the reads aren't there, Brady throws it into the ground. He's not going to take that hit. Or if for some reason it's a jailbreak, Brady just goes down into a lump to all fours to protect himself. He's never going to extend the play to potentially take a shot like that. That was one of the most wicked shots any quarterback has taken this season. Russell Wilson doesn't miss a play, bounces up, and just keeps playing like that. It might end up costing him years on the back end of his career. I mean, nobody takes that hit. Drew Brees doesn't. Brady doesn't. Rodgers doesn't. Wentz doesn't. Nobody does. But Russell Wilson makes everything happen for that team. And look at his weapons. I mean, Jimmy Graham, it took him a while to figure it out, but now they've got Graham cooking. His wide receivers, Doug Baldwin's an excellent number three. Baldwin should probably not be your number one wide receiver. Lockett? I mean, this is not exactly a team full of high-end weapons, and their offensive line's been a problem all year. And Russell Wilson just keeps making things happen. That's a huge win. Now, I think the Seahawks have problems because the back end of that defense is an issue. Bobby Wagner erases a lot of problems, man. People don't talk about Bobby Wagner enough. That guy, when all is said and done, could be a Hall of Famer. Bobby Wagner is amazing. But Russell Wilson does things nobody else can do consistently. And that's why the Seahawks have to be taken seriously. And this is what I'm talking about. I mean, think about if the NFC playoffs have the Seahawks and Aaron Rodgers and the Packers as their wild cards. Or the Atlanta Falcons as a wild card. That is a gauntlet you will have to get through the NFC to get to a Super Bowl. In the AFC, I'm still waiting for somebody to show me that they're actually decent enough to give the Patriots a game. I'm hoping in 2 weeks the Steelers give the Patriots a game. Who else? Maybe the Ravens because of their defense. I mean, am I wishing on a star there? The Titans? Come on. The Jaguars? I mean, can they go to Foxborough and give them a game? The Chargers, maybe because of that pass rush, but all of these teams are so flawed. In the NFC, the final team in the playoffs could be the Seahawks or Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Or the defending NFC champions that had a 25-point lead in the Super Bowl. Doing More is brought to you by The Home Depot, the next generation of home improvement. With everything that you need to do, Project Smarter. The Home Depot, more saving, more doing. Taking a look at a player doing more for his team, Josh McCown. This is an incredible stat. Eli Manning missed a start yesterday for the first time since 2004. The week before Eli Manning took over in his rookie season, Kurt Warner was the quarterback of the Giants. He played the Arizona Cardinals, who started Josh McCown. Oh, whoa, 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 what? Josh McCown started against the Giants the week before Eli Manning took over. That means we've had that many years of Eli Manning and Josh McCown. Do we need 13 years of Josh McCown here? He went 26-36, 331 in the win yesterday, downing the Chiefs 38-31. Josh McCown, the one-yard touchdown run with 2:15 left. That ends up being the game-winning score. The Jets, 5-7, which is five more wins than most Jets wanted this season. All right, let's get to your 12 DAs of Christmas, boys and girls. We are counting down the 12 greatest moments of the DA shows 2017. This is what I look forward to maybe more than anything over the course of the year. There are a few hallmarks, benchmarks of the DA show. The wingership being one of them. Mraz on the weenie luge during the summer block party. Eating a hot dog as it comes down an ice luge. The chicken challenge. Super Bowl week on Radio Row. And the 12 DAs of Christmas.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. Counting down the weirdest, craziest, and downright most mothershipping moments of the year. The 12 DAs of Christmas to all, and to all, a good night.
Wow, okay, so let me ask you, Mr. Six.
From what I heard, it was a little bit more of spitting that happened.
Mraz, you spit on somebody?
I was talking very loudly.
Oh, and my God. Now, hitting me.
I'm Roberto Alomar, all right? It's in my past.
Your honorable Uncle Futrelli is bringing the robe out of the closet. D.A., this is unacceptable that we have unaccounted for and unpresent staff members due to a little mini nor'easter. I can't have it.
Well, a couple of years ago, I read that you had suggested that maybe you had created a monster in Paul Simon. Do you still feel a couple of years later that way?
I'm not so interested in.
He ate something that comes out of the dog's wrong side, and he ate it and then admitted it.
And I thought I had dropped the chocolate chip on the ground, so I rushed to pick it up and pop it in my mouth to save the dog from instant death. Instead, only to realize that taste was not the chocolate. It was a long morning for me.
The time is now.
So we begin with the first of the first four outs. This takes us back to January the 17th. Bart Scott was in studio with us when Mraz didn't realize Doris Roberts had passed away.
Oh, yeah, let's get it.
You remember her, right? From
They can call me. I mean, depends on what their net worth is.
It's all about the net worth, huh?
Doris Roberts, I think, still looks good.
Doris Roberts?
Everybody loves Raymond's mom.
You're weird anyway.
Come on.
She's got a nice face. A little mean on her bones.
Doris Roberts? Doris Roberts? Look at Doris Roberts.
Whoa.
Come on.
Whoa.
What? Come on. No way.
Hey, man, listen.
Just realized she died in April.
Oh, God. God.
She did look good, though.
She did. He saw old glamour shot of her.
My God.
Rest in peace, Doris. I'm sorry.
You are terrible.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Wow. You
Wikipedia, my bad.
I am the epic fail.
That is humiliating.
She looked good, though, before she went.
What? You can't clean this one up, man.
No, there's no way.
I could be a chubby chaser.
Are you
know?
Serious?
Got a nice face.
What? What's picker? Never mind. Let me stop. Stop.
Let's.
That's my list. Number one.
Okay, that's it. January 17th. Bart Scott in studio. We were talking about more attractive older women, and Mraz dropped the Doris Roberts, the mom from Everybody Loves Raymond, not realizing she was dead. That's one of the first four out. Number 12 comes at you on Friday. The next 4 days, we'll be counting down the first four out. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Nate's in Boise, Idaho, listening on 93.1. What's going on, Nate? Good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
Oh, pretty good. I'm just a real big, happy Vikings fan right now.
I bet.
And I just want to talk about how bad Jeff Fisher would have to be to have Keenum, Bradford, and Goff never put together any scope of a team. I mean, all three of them played at a high level.
Well, how about also that he couldn't get over 500 with the Rams? The moment he leaves, the Rams are one of the best teams in football. He is a disaster with quarterbacks, a disaster. It kind of makes you wonder what would have happened had Steve McNair gone to an actual quarterback's coach. Because McNair had a great career, and what help was he getting from Jeff Fisher? But Jeff Fisher had completely mailed it in the last couple of years, completely ineffective, because look now. The Rams went from 4-12, their best season being 7-8-1 type years with him. And then the moment he leaves, Goff takes off, and they're one of the best teams in football. Hey, by the way, we want to welcome on one of our new affiliates. How about this? If you're in Southern Oregon, Southern Oregon's home for the Beavers is 96.1 and 580 The Game, and they're all about CBS Sports Radio right now, which is awesome. KTMT, which is fantastic. Joe Musio, the general manager over there, has said, we want CBS Sports Radio. We want the mothership. We want the DA show. We need it. We got it. We want it. And we love you guys for doing it. Matt, the program director over there, thanks very much as well for working so well with us. Once again, big shout out, 96.1 and 580 The Game in Southern Oregon. Southern Oregon's home for the Beavers. is now the home of the DA Show. Monday through Friday, 9 until noon Eastern time, 6 until 9 Pacific. When we come back here on the show, was Gronk's hit the dirtiest hit of the season? DA, CBS Sports Radio.